Welcome to the Artist Work Ethic Podcast. I'm Mike Pelak. I'm a screenwriter, actor, and filmmaker, and on this podcast, I talk to artists of all kinds who have seen success in their fields about their process, habits, and work ethic. Today on the show is Stacey D. Stacey sings and plays guitar in the punk band Bad Cop, Bad Cop. Bad Cop, Bad Cop are currently signed to Fat Records and have toured the world. As Stacey mentions, they're currently working on a new record and can be seen supporting NOFX on select dates of NOFX's final tour. I'll be putting out some writing through Substack each week, and that's also how you can stay up to date on this podcast, as well as other projects I'm involved in. I hope you'll subscribe to read along at mikepelak.substack.com. That's mikepelak.substack.com. Please check out blackoilfilms.com/screenwriting. There you can check out some of the screenplays I've written. I have the first 10 pages of each one uploaded, but feel free to email me at theartistsworketheticpodcast@gmail.com, and I'd be happy to send you a full script if you're interested in reading. Last thing before we get into the episode, I would love anyone listening to subscribe, rate, and review the Artist's Work Ethic Podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. It really helps us put the show out there for more people to listen to. All right, Stacey, thank you for coming on with me today.
Heck yeah. Thanks for having me.
So how is DIY or punk rock, just kind of those ethics in general, contributed to or informed the way you work today?
Oh, boy. Okay. So when I first started, and I will say this, for the first 15 years of my career in music and punk rock, it was 100% DIY. There was no agents, there was no team, there was no label, there was no, I guess we had one kind of small label, but certainly they didn't give two shits about us and didn't really do anything to help us. So it was very much about booking your own tour, about just getting, like Ian said, just get in the van. Was it Ian who said, get in the van? Yeah. So it was very much about that. It was like getting your own flyers, tour flyers made, just making them, hanging them up yourself. Shit. It was just for the love of it. Fuck, dude. I mean, but when I first started, our rehearsal time, because there was like four bands in the studio, our time was between 10 and 2 in the morning. My first band did it every night until we had enough songs to go out and play, and then continued to work that way. I mean, worked so hard that in our first year of playing, we got ourselves on the Vans Warped Tour. Now the Vans Warped Tour, without being paid, without being fed, without anything, playing on a small side stage just to be there and be included, which was great because that's literally how I met everybody that I was going to know going into my career today, you know what I mean? So it's rad that going back 20 some odd years, you know, I knew those guys from just doing it, just fucking going out there. I mean, shit, dude, we were playing 110 degree weather, no tent. And then they'd want us to do two sets back to back. And it was like, people were literally like pouring ice on me as I laid in the grass.
You know what I mean? Well, it sounds like it was kind of like, and this is probably not the best word for it, but just sacrifice to get out there and do the thing you wanted to do.
And no matter what, you know, for no money for a very long time. I have people that ask me all the time, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? And I'm just like, just keep going. There's no other thing that I can say to you. There's nothing I can do to help you. Really, you've got to go dig in and make sure your songs are great, believe in yourself, and get the fuck out there and hope that got a good enough relationships where you could start being an opener. Fuck, I was the opener in San Francisco to everybody that came through that was on a circuit. You know what I mean? Like, I've did it all.
So you were in a few bands prior to Bad Cop, Bad Cop. Is there anything different in the way you approached Bad Cop, Bad Cop versus the way you did it in the past?
So I took more risk, right? Like the Angry Amputees was a band where, like, of course I took risk, but like I didn't do a whole night of like doing blow to be at a party. You know, there was some more risk I took. There was bets, you know, like Fat Mike, I bet him at a game of pool after I opened, you know, one of my bands, Compton SF, opened for the loved ones that came through town. And, you know, we played a game. We all went out partying after the show. And I bet him at a game of pool. I said, if you win, I'll do something. And that if I win, you have to write a song I get to sing on. Right. And so that opened me up to singing on his musical, which then opened me up to becoming great friends with his ex-wife, Soma, who said, you know, you should sign Stacy's band. It's all female. You don't have any women representing right now on the label. Like he said, well, when are you guys playing? You know? And then it was 2 months later, but they put it on their calendar and sure as shit, they showed up. So like there was some of those. And maybe also just because I'd been doing it for so much longer, you just become more of a old veteran at it. You know what I mean? So you become a little more confident, you become a little more brazen, and you become a little more ASCII. you take those shots, which I certainly did.
Do you think any of that attitude comes from, you know, how you were raised, or is it just something you've gotten later on, you know, just that willingness to go out and just grab it?
It's so funny. I think that it is the way that I was raised. My mom worked for Bill Graham in San Francisco my whole life. And my dad's a singer-songwriter as well. Not that they taught me about a gnarly work ethic, that's for sure. But I was not, everything else suffered so this could happen, right? So I didn't go get a career in anything else. What I did was believed that I was going to do this. Even if I was broke as fuck, and you know, this is what made me happy. So I always, no matter what, all the other shit just didn't get worked on. This is what got worked on. So this was highly focused, and this is always what I wanted to do, and everything else wasn't. You know, so that's where I put all of my love, my heart, my energy, my life, my relationships, my fuck, everything else has been second to this.
Well, it's kind of going off that point. I would also ask how do you keep yourself balanced? You know, when you feel exhaustion or burnout starting to creep in, especially mm-hmm. taking into account that there are other people counting on you in all this.
Oh, right. Right. Luckily enough, when it comes to this, I don't suffer burnout. This is what I love to do. It's my passion. It is. It doesn't feel like work. I mean, sometimes it gets hard, like when you're traveling and it shows, and sometimes I'll be like, God, I'm just fucking really tired today and I don't want to do this. And then I feel like I'm not being grateful. And then I feel like the universe is going to take the shit away from me, everything I worked so fucking hard for. So don't say those words. You know what I mean? Like only now. And I'll say this because since COVID, I started the Sidewalk Project as my nonprofit that works with unhoused folks in Skid Row. And this has, and MacArthur Park and unhoused folks everywhere, but mainly in Los Angeles, it has just become a lot of my life. It's kind of 24 hours a day. And so now I'm noticing the things that I used to be so gung-ho on beginning of the year. Right. So what does the year look like? Let's do this X, Y, and Z. And it's buttoned up and blah, 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 blah. It usually this year, for some reason, I have not been able to fucking, I'm like, what are we doing? Like, do we need a poster? Who's going out with us? Like usually it's buttoned up, but because I'm the COO of the Sidewalk Project. So I have a lot on my plate right now. I oftentimes think I don't have a day off. I feel like the only time I can really take time off is when I'm sick. So I kind of look forward to being sick when I really am.
That's like I've heard of athletes who are like when they're on some like team with a gnarly coach that if they get injured, they're kind of stoked because they can like take 3 weeks off.
Just please let me get. I had a hysterectomy in August and they were like, Stacy, 8 weeks, 8 weeks, you're off. And I was like, there's no way. There's just no way. And then certainly for the first 2 weeks, I was still like cutting up and coming over here and running fucking payroll. You know what I mean? Like, go get back to bed. But by 4 weeks, I was like, okay, guys, I'm not going to let you down. I'll be back at it. I'll tell you this. They said 8 weeks to get back on stage. 4 weeks, main support for Frank Turner at the House of Blues. And then 2 weeks after that, fucking 2 weeks on the road with the Bouncing Souls, you know. Hey, I'll tell you another thing. 9 days after breast cancer surgery, I left for a month to go to Europe with Bad Cop. And then came home for a week, was at Trevor Keith's 50th birthday party, and walked into a conversation where a dear friend, he manages them and the Gimmies and a bunch of things. And he said, you should do it. And I said, do what? And he goes, go to Europe with the Gimmies for a month. But here's the thing. You got to learn 26 songs in a week. And you have the first show is you're headlining the third stage at Download England. And I sat there and I said, without being overly excited or nervous, I said, I can do that job. And then went home and Ben said, go home, pick 5 songs, see if you could pick it up, you know, from the Spotify or whatever. And then the next morning I had a text from Audra saying, Stacey's a gimme. And then I had 2 rehearsals with Spike, 1 rehearsal with the whole band, and a whole fucking month in Europe playing guitar for the Gimmies.
But you know what I hear there though is and it's such a recurring theme on this podcast, is just saying yes to things and,
yeah. Oh,
you know, not necessarily overthinking it. And it kind of goes hand in hand with creating your own luck and putting yourself in those positions, you know?
So funny you should say that, because that day I had been offered, Fat Mike had this great place here in Los Angeles, and he was renting out rooms of the house to touring artists. It could be like a, you know, when you're home, you're here, blah, 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 blah. And he was like, he really wanted me to move in and be part of that. And that day I was like, you know what? Something changed in me. And I said it out loud. I'm going to start saying yes to life. That's why I said yes to going to Trevor's birthday party. And then that opportunity happened. But and then even talking to you about it makes me realize how hard I do work. Because sometimes it feels like, you know, but I guess I do grind. I'm a grinder.
It's just, if you want to do it, you can find the pockets of time in your day and your night to just get it done. You know, it doesn't have to be 18-hour days, 7 days a week to make something happen.
Right. I look at it all as living with intention, right? So everything that I do, my music has got the same message as my work with Sidewalk. And it just feels like everything is all kind of one, which makes me feel like my needs are met and that I'm happy. Because it doesn't feel like I'm having to do one thing to support other things to make myself happy. You know what I mean? It feels like it's all kind of all in one, which it took a really long time to get to, but definitely is the best place I've ever been in.
So what's a goal that you still want to accomplish in your life?
With music?
Anything.
Or anything. Oh gosh.
This is my new favorite question. So.
It's so funny. You know, I know here you are being a podcast, you know, podcaster and an interviewer and all this kind of stuff. But like, I oftentimes think, okay, one of my greatest goals with the band isn't like, I want to be a pop act. I want to be on the radio. It's like, I want to be one of the fucking lasting punk bands where when you look at punk history, you go, oh, you know, they had their fucking time and they fucking did it and they didn't go anywhere and they stayed and they're loved and revered and in punk rock lore forever. That's what I want to do for Bad Cop. For my own personal life, sometimes I say, you just don't even ever know. I tell my mom, I say, Mom, I could be a fucking talk show host one day. You fucking don't know anything. we could stumble on, you know, sometimes we think, and I started writing some descriptive stuff behind all of us. If something like Bad Cop, the story of the 4 women was told in kind of like it's not sitcom, but like a Sex in the City kind of way, where it would be just a great how many women do you know that are our age that get to go do this shit in the world? There's not that many of us. I mean, maybe 100, you know what I mean, in the world. So to tell that story, I think would be fucking phenomenal. There's a bunch of different avenues. It could be, you know, it could be a TV show. It could be a comic book, you know, something that tells our story. I think that would be fantastic and something that I would love to do. Another big goal of mine is to simplify, start enjoying things a little bit more, like nature and wine and being outside and, you know, slowing down a little bit, because I am 48. I'm not a spring chicken. And as I get older, it's like, of course, I hope I get to do my punk band forever and ever until I die. And if so, I will. But, you know, if it's something bigger like that, where it is like the story told being behind us in a way that I think people could, that is super original, and because it is an original story, I think could be great, whether we write it or not. I think it needs to be told. So maybe that's a big goal, is to get this thing told, because God damn it, we have so much fun. Can I tell you, the other day we were in an Airbnb in Arizona, and we were supposed to be out by like 11. At 1 o'clock, we were in one of the bedrooms, just the four girls. Each of us had a bottle of champagne in our hands. And I could imagine the cleaning crew walking in and seeing us all. You know what I mean? Like, oh yeah, we should have left a long time, you know. But that's what we do. One time we left a bar in Portland and we got to our hotel at like, I don't know, 2:30 or 3 in the morning. And I was like, I'm going in. I'm sophisticated. Everything's fine. I'm walking in like in all my glory. And then I look down and my bra is actually hanging from my sweater on the outside. My fucking sweater. You know what I mean? It's like, it's, some of these things are just, and it's like that all the time.
I mean, I could 100% picture that as a beat in, you know, a scene.
You know what I mean?
Film. Yeah, totally.
Or a TV show, you know, it's like, yeah. What if every season was a tour? How fucking fun would that be? You know what yeah. I mean? Or even if it was a reality TV show and they fucking followed us around and they actually saw what we got to do all the time.
Yeah.
Pretty great. We've got this guy, Josh Roush, who works with Kevin Smith, dear friend of ours, who's been doing some behind the scenes stuff with us. He came with us to Arizona, and in the van on the way home the next day, he gets us in the van recorded. And in front of me, okay, there's drivers. I'm in the bench right behind it. And he's talking to me about something. And there's an empty bottle of wine in the seat in front of me. And one in my hand, and we're driving down the fucking highway. You know what I mean? I'm 48 years old.
Yeah, this is college.
Ridiculous. Yeah, exactly right. It's like there's this whole like freedom to being this older woman now that it's just so good.
I love it. I love the idea of some kind of like a series of that. I mean, there's so much. You know, like
it's unlimited potential, and yeah, it is yeah. so funny. And we've got so many stories that if we wrote them, I mean, and they're going to keep going. You know what I mean? They're going mm-hmm. to keep going.
I love that. Follow that thread. I think that sounds very cool.
You know, I started writing about, you know, all of us and, you know, some of our backstories and some of the things we're really great at, like Lynn in the van that day, Lynn was like wasted as well. And she was like, Stacey, the one thing you're going to get is like, she's totally transparent. And then you see me in the front and I look over at Alex and I go, so are we square? It's just like, it's so funny.
I love it.
So I think I will, Mike. Thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah, please do. Please do. So is there anything you want to plug before we go?
We're working on a new fucking record. Yeah. I don't know the name of it yet, and we do not have the artwork, but I can tell you this, it is fucking cool. It is so fun. This is going to be a record, like The Ride was almost a perfect piece of music. I mean, there was just very little wrong with it. Recording-wise, music-wise, harmony-wise, it was just so smoothly done. It was just pretty perfect. This record is going to be something that you're going to go like, did you hear that Bad Cop record? Fucking listen to it. That is a fun fucking record. It is us 100%. This is Fat Mike's not working with us on this record. This is us. And we are just loving it. Last night, Myra showed up. We had rehearsal, and Brenna from The Last Gang is doing one show with us because Alex is out with Fall Out Boy right now. Talk about work ethic, man. I mean, my fucking band, Bad Cop, works harder than people ask. Oh, how'd you guys do it? It was like, because we took fucking every show for $100. We took every show for $200. We fucking got signed to Fat Records and did an EP and toured Europe for 3 weeks on an EP. You know what I mean? Like, there's just a certain sense of like getting out there and just fucking, you know, doing it and not, and embarrassingly so. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, awesome. You mentioned earlier for a second, but do you want to real quick talk about what you do with the Sidewalk Project?
Sure. Soma Snake Oil, and Emily Nielsen from Punk Rock and Paintbrushes, and I started a nonprofit in 2017 or 18 called the Sidewalk Project, where we work with unhoused folks in the greater Los Angeles area, mostly. We have a couple other groups like in Phoenix and in Modesto, and we had one in San Diego. And it started out as like an arts and music thing. We thought that like folks who may have lost their ability to create probably aren't doing so well, you know? So we would have big events where we do, we get a bunch of musicians down and we'd perform on the street and sing together. And then we'd have clothing giveaways and kits and hygiene kits and menstrual kits and wound care stuff that, and we do a big mural painting. So it started very much as arts and music org outreach. Then with COVID, you know, we saw that the need was so great. There was no masks for people out on the street. And we were the first ones to bring masks into Skid Row. Even the Department of Health didn't have them. And we got them masks so they could be safe around. So that started that. And then we were on the street every day and seeing the need that's so great. And so we do general outreach, but we do case management. And what we do is we help people with all of their needs. I mean, housing, of course, wound, hospital and medical care, advocacy in courts, abortion help and care. We do everything a person that is out on the street that has no way to advocate for themselves or the resources to get help, get what they need. So we opened a drop-in center last year in Skid Row. And it was awesome. It was like for wellness stuff, yoga, meditation, arts, music, but also just a place for people to come plug in their phone and get off the street for a minute, use the bathroom, eat. We would have like big pots of food and coffee, get a warm coffee, to crisis intervention. I mean, we do wound care on the street. We are trying our hardest because the systems are so broken. And here's the other thing, we're harm reductionists. And so we advocate for the lives of people who use drugs. We advocate for the lives of people who are in poverty. Because we've all been that ourselves. We work predominantly with sex workers, people who use drugs, people that are in poverty, and the mix of all of it, and unhoused folks. So it has just become this massive movement of kindness and compassion. And our case management, what that means is we stay with a person until they are stable. Like one woman we met with our first grant, and we hired her as a community outreach coordinator. She lived in a tent. Then we raised money and we got her into a motorhome. Then we worked the housing system and we got her into permanent housing. Now she works for us. She created her own tree of life. We also do overdose. There's so many things we do, overdose prevention, because of the overdose crisis that's happening right now is just so fucked up. And nobody is poised to do it, but little community-based organizations like ours who are fearless enough to go out there and say, I want to help you. Not, do you want to eat? Here's a steak. You got to believe in God. If you want to stay in this house, you better be sober. If you want a job, you better be sober. Like everybody in my organization fucking has used drugs, uses drugs, is a sex worker, was unhoused, is unhoused. So it really is just an organization about, is a wellness organization, and trying to get folks to not die, trying to, and if they do, then, you know, they passed with community and dignity and people that loved them. And we do syringe exchange. And so we push back against the spread of disease. We do as much as we can to keep the rest. And here's the thing. It's like, yeah, you know, but it's like we do the work that we do to keep the rest of the world safe as well.
Awesome. Well, Stacy, thank you for coming on with me today.
No problem. This was super fun. Thanks for this take on things. It's nice to talk about work ethic. I loved it.
Thank you so much for listening today. Please subscribe to the Artist Work Ethic podcast anywhere you listen to podcasts, and please rate and review the show. Follow us on Instagram at The Artist's Work Ethic.